I would invite you now to please stand for the reading of the Gospel, which comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Once again, this morning you'll find in your program some teaching notes, and I invite you to follow along as we go through this message together and write things down as you feel God is calling you to do. As we continue in this Lenten series on prayer, I was thinking about how much I have learned about prayer from children. You know, children have a way of being real, of speaking to God from their minds and their hearts. One of my favorite Sunday comics is The Family Circus, and Bill Keen, who does this popular comic strip, often will turn to the prayer lives of children, and I love some of the ways he depicts it, such as little PJ here, getting ready to go to bed. I'm going to say my prayers, Daddy. Do you have any requests? Already learning about the ministry of intercessory prayer. And then he goes upstairs, and there's his sister Dolly saying her prayers. No, Dolly, our Father art downstairs watching TV. And then he says his own prayers. Sorry, but tonight looks like it's just going to be a rerun of last night's prayers. Have you ever felt that way? Continuing to pray over the same things. And then this one, which I think is my favorite of all. Our Father who art in heaven, how did you know my name? Recognizing the simplicity of prayer. Children just have a way of being real. They have a way of being authentic. Their prayers are simple. Their prayers are heartfelt. And today, as we continue this series of messages based on a book by Reuben Job entitled Listen, Praying in a Noisy World, I want to look at the simplicity of prayer. You know, as we saw last Sunday, when we pray, we do not have to invoke God's presence as if God is somehow far away from us and we have to get God's attention. We mentioned that God loves us and that God simply desires companionship with us. As it says in number one in your notes, what God desires most when we pray is our real prayers. It's that we be real before God. Jesus emphasizes this at the beginning of our gospel for this morning in Matthew 6. Just before he teaches his disciples what we now call the Lord's Prayer, He says this, "When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask." So prayer is not about using many words. Prayer is not even about having all the right words. Prayer is about pouring out to God whatever is on your heart. I want to take a moment now and look at another segment of the DVD that accompanies our Lenten study. And notice that each of these men and women that we'll see here have found a different way to be real with God in prayer.
I pray to God just like I'm talking, because that's prayer is communicating to God. But when I get ready to go to bed at night, I actually can put myself in humble submission, and I actually lay all the way down, and I lay down on the floor, and I pray to Him. So that's one of my most heartfelt prayers, is when I just give everything to Him, and I have to repent for the sin, because I sin every day about something big or small, and I repent at the end of the day.
Just getting some more words quiet, and so I'm not distracted. So I can actually get deep into prayer and sort of get in the moment.
I do a lot of praying throughout the day. When I get anxious, a little anxious, yeah, counselors get anxious too. I'll even just speak out the word and just say, "Father." It's Father. It centers me. I pray for people that are in need, because we get prayer requests that I see, and I know the hurt and the pain that people are going through many different things in my life. I can kind of identify with it. So I pray for whatever needs to happen there, for God to intervene.
Another way that I love to pray is through music. I love to sing the hymns of the church and worship songs. I know that those can tune my heart to pray. I'm also a songwriter, and I love to write songs. And a lot of times I'll sit down at my piano, and that's where I'll work it out with my words and maybe working on a song and just seeking what God is saying to me, you know, and hopefully, obviously, as a songwriter, by the end you want to have a song to sing, and when it sings back to you, you know, like that's a prayer. That was my prayer.
I just talk. It's like breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Inhale, exhale. To whoever, whatever, wherever is coming out.
I remember there was a time period where I was, you know, when I was really first started reading the Bible when I was younger and learning scripture, that, you know, there was a way God wanted you to pray. And, you know, I kind of was rigid in that, and, you know, made sure I ended every prayer within Jesus' name. And I made sure that, you know, everything started off with the Lord's Prayer. Not that those things aren't valuable or important, but at the same time, you know, God just wants your time, and He wants to have relationship with you. So now, you know, I honestly, there's no form or fashion to it for me.
Prayer to me is just as simple as you talking to me sitting right here. When I wake up, I thank Him, and I talk to Him all day long, and He's my best friend.
There are several methods of prayer that I use, not only for myself, but in the life of my terminally ill patients. And one of them is breath prayers. And I may just ask them through guided meditation to think about their breath, their intake of air, their exhale of air. And as they intake, they take in all that they need, the goodness and the grace and the love and the support and the answers. They take that in. And then when they breathe out their struggles, their frustrations, their questions, their fears, their anxiety. It works pretty good for them. And it worked pretty good for me, too.
So you don't have to have a certain formula or technique to pray. Each of these people had a different way of entering into God's presence in prayer. And God welcomes your prayers, whether you're lying down on the floor at bedtime and pouring out your heart to God, or entering into the silence of a quiet place. God hears your prayers, whether you're tuning your heart to God in music or talking to God throughout the day. God hears your prayers. Whether you're focusing on God as you breathe in and breathe out, or simply calling God's name in the midst of a challenging time. Bishop Job writes these words, "Prayer is not meant to be complicated, complex, and left to professionals. Prayer is for all of us. It is simply offering the fears, needs, hopes, longings, and questions of our minds and hearts to God as honestly, earnestly, and accurately as we can." Prayer is offering your fears, your needs, your hopes, your longings, and your questions. When Jesus says pray like this and teaches us to pray what we now call the Lord's Prayer, he invites us first and foremost just to be open and honest with God, to be genuine and authentic, to drop our guard and stop the pretense. Jesus calls us just to be ourselves. Because he reminds us that praying the Lord's Prayer, we affirm who God is for us, that God is our Abba. Look at verse 9. Pray like this, "Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name." Jesus addresses Almighty God in the same way that a little child addresses mommy or daddy. You know, our 16-month-old granddaughter, Lila, is starting to say some words now. Do you know what her very first word was? Well, it wasn't pap-pap or Grammy. It was no. But then soon after that, she said, "Mommy." And then she started saying, "Daddy." Jesus teaches us to come before God in prayer with that same childlike trust of a toddler who is so real with mommy and with daddy. George Maloney writes these words, "Prayer for Jesus was not an activity in which he engaged before he did something else. It was a permanent, ever-increasing state of being turned inwardly toward the Father at every moment in loving trust and surrender. Prayer became synonymous with loving surrender based on childlike trust. In prayer, we develop a relationship of loving trust and self-surrender with our Father in heaven." Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So I wonder, what are the good gifts that the Heavenly Father gives to those who ask? Well, as I think about that, I think about what are the good gifts that we give to our children. The good gifts are not really the material things, although we want our children to have food and shelter and clothing and so much more, but the good gifts, the really important things, are things like unconditional love and quality time and listening and encouraging and caring. Our children don't just want our stuff. What they really want is our companionship. And how much more, says Jesus, will Abba be our companion in all the circumstances of our life. In the Lord's Prayer, we can find that we can take everything to God in prayer. Jesus focuses really on three things in particular in the Lord's Prayer. First of all, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we express our hopes to God. It's interesting, isn't it, that that's where Jesus begins when he teaches us to pray, that we recognize the hope that we have in God and we express the longings of our hearts to him. The very first petition of the prayer is this: bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Bring in your kingdom, Jesus teaches us to pray. And on the one hand, those words are like a cry for help. We look at the mess the world is in and we cry out to God, bring in your kingdom. We see the circumstances in our lives or in the lives of those we love and we cry out to God, bring in your kingdom. In a world of sin and suffering, Jesus invites us to express our heartfelt yearning for God to set things right in this world. And then on the other hand, when we pray, bring in your kingdom, we are really expressing confidence in God's kingdom, and it will come. Things are not yet as they will be, but we believe that God is already at work in this world. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus spends a lot of time talking about the kingdom of God, and often he does it using parables. He uses these ordinary, everyday experiences to help us understand how God is at work in this world and what that means for us. And some of his parables just capture this depth in a single sentence. Like this one from Matthew 13:33. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Now the Greek word for mixed in is also translated as hid or covered over or concealed or kept secret. So what Jesus is saying to us, that God's love and God's peace and God's justice and all these good gifts that God gives are often so covered over by this big lump of sin and suffering that we may have trouble seeing it. But when we pray, we are expressing confidence that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. And what Jesus is really pointing to in this parable is the extravagant grace of God, whose Son will die on the cross for our salvation. And he's saying that like that yeast, God's kingdom is often hidden from view, but with the eyes of faith, as people who seek God with the longing of our hearts, we see that God is at work. We pray, bring in your kingdom, because we trust the future to God. I love the way the British New Testament scholar Tom Wright expresses confidence that God will bring in the kingdom. As I see it, he writes, the prayer was powerfully answered at the first Easter and will finally be answered fully when the new heaven and new earth are joined in the new Jerusalem. Easter was when hope in person surprise the whole world by coming forward from the future into the present. We have hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we turn to God in prayer, we offer our hope to Him. And then as we continue on in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also invites us to release our fears to God. In the next petition of the prayer, we say this: give us the bread we need for today. Now, when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us the bread we need, He recognizes that physical hunger is a very real need in this world. Most of us do not worry about where our next meal is coming from. We are more concerned about eating less and eating healthier. But the fear of hunger was very real in Jesus' day, and it is very real today for more than half of the world's population. Perhaps you saw the report from the United Nations this week that more than 6.2 million people in drought-stricken Somalia, over half of that country's population, is in need of urgent assistance. Unless there is an enormous humanitarian response, this report said, perhaps a million people in that country will die of starvation by the end of 2017. Heartbreaking. And there are hungry people in our community too. People who live in our neighborhood who worry about putting food on the table. What we give as a church to support our community food banks and assistance programs is so critically important. What we give to support the United Methodist Committee on Relief and other agencies to feed the world's hungry is critically important. We pray to Jesus, give us the bread we need for today, and we remember our hungry neighbors, and we commit ourselves to do all that we can to make sure they get fed. We also acknowledge that even though our stomachs are full, we have some fears of our own. It's likely you brought some fears with you into worship this morning. Fears about your health, perhaps, or the health of a loved one. Fears about your marriage or your children, your finances, your job. Fears about the future. Whatever your fears, Jesus invites you to be real with God in prayer. To take it to the Lord in prayer so that you can let it go. I would ask that we could read these verses from Philippians chapter 4 together and make them our own. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in prayer, we express our hopes. In prayer, we release our fears to the one who gives us peace beyond understanding. And also, as we continue in this prayer, and finally, we offer our brokenness. We offer our brokenness to God. Look at the next two petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we forgive those who have wronged us. And do not lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Two very simple two-word phrases are underlined in these two verses. Forgive us and rescue us. When we are real with God, we recognize our need for forgiveness. We confess the brokenness that has occurred because we have turned from God. We recognize brokenness in our relationships. To forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon, to cancel a debt. It means to make whole that which has been broken. And in our prayer, we bring that to God as well, knowing that He is the healer of our brokenness. And we also acknowledge in our prayer that we need to be rescued. In prayer, we bring our brokenness to God, for God alone can save us. You see, here's the thing. When we get real with God in prayer, God welcomes us home. The Quaker devotional writer Richard Foster writes this: "For too long we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry and crowds, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And He welcomes us home. Home to serenity and peace and joy. Home to friendship and fellowship and openness. Home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. Our hopes, our fears, our broken places. God invites you and me in prayer to come home." As we close this service this morning, I want to extend an invitation to you to pick up one of the green cards that you'll find there in the seats. And on that green card, take a moment and write down your real prayer to God. What's on your heart? What's on your heart today? And as we sing our closing hymn, I want to invite those of you who feel so led to come forward and place the card in one of the baskets. We'll have them here on the bell table and also over here on this table. And linger for a time if you wish as you present your prayer to God. In this coming week, members of our prayer team and our church staff will hold these prayers before God and join with you in being real in coming home to the Heavenly Father. And as Pastor Dave said earlier, following our service today, at the close of the service or during the hymn, you're welcome to the prayer center in the back, where there will be some members of our prayer team if you'd like someone to pray with you. Bishop Job reminds us again of why prayer is such a critical part of our lives. We learn to listen so that we will not miss the most important voice of all time with the most important message we will ever hear. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful. We're grateful because we know that whenever we turn to You in prayer, and whatever form we choose to turn to You in prayer, You are always there waiting to hear us. You are the great listener. And Lord, this morning as we close this service, we recognize our hopes, the longings of our heart. We acknowledge our fears. We also acknowledge our need for you to heal those broken places. Oh God, we're grateful that you've given us the gift of prayer. Help us to walk with you and to trust in you for everything. Great is your faithfulness. Amen.